If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalms 118, verse 24. We're going to speak on the subject of making every day a good day. And I think the songs have kind of gone along with this theme. It says in Psalms 118, 24, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. A man was drinking coffee, reading the newspaper, paying no real attention to his wife at breakfast one morning. She leaned over and pulled the paper down, looked him straight in the face, eye to eye, and said, "I bet you don't remember what today is." Panic flew through the man as he thought for a moment and quickly tried to recover himself. And he said, "Of course I do. Do you think I could ever forget?" That day at noon, his wife received a dozen red roses. Later in the day, a large box of chocolates arrived. When the husband came home that evening, there was a soft candlelight glowing throughout the house. The table was beautifully set with a white linen tablecloth and fresh cut flowers. Soft music was playing, and his wife was all gussied up. They had a romantic meal together. After the meal, the wife came over and gave her husband a great big kiss and said, "Sweetheart, I want to thank you for making this the best Groundhog Day we've ever had." Have you ever forgotten a special day? I hope you haven't. But there is a day that all of us need to remember as being special, and that day is today. Now, of course, we know that today is a special day because it is Sunday. It is the Lord's Day. But I'm not here talking about Sunday in this message. I'm talking about today as it pertains to each and every day of our life. So I've entitled the message, "Making Every Day a Good Day." Now, the Bible tells us that in the last days that there will be perilous times. And I think all of us know as we look around that we're certainly living in those days when we can say these are perilous, perilous times. We certainly need to focus in on these perilous times that are upon us. But if we're not careful, we will focus only on the bad to the extent that it can become depressing to us. I want to remind you this morning that in spite of all the doom and the gloom that's in our world, and in spite of all the headlines in the morning newspaper, and in spite of all the problems that we have personally, we can still have a good day. It is possible to live 365 days a year without having a bad day. Now, we must learn, however, to put the emphasis on the right thing. And that's really what our text is all about this morning. I think God gave us this verse for troublesome times like we're facing today. I feel that He is wanting us to claim this promise, stand on it each day, regardless of the circumstances around us. This verse teaches us that every day is a God-given day, and it will be a God-gladdened day if we permit it to be a God-governed day. Now, this verse certainly has a prophetic application because it is part of that passage which looks forward to that glorious day when Jesus Christ will come again to complete or finish the salvation process. What He has started, He will finish. One day He will split the eastern sky. One day He will call the church up to meet Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that completes the salvation process that He started with the new birth. But it is also, this verse has a practical application for each and every day of the week. I want to point out five things about today as it pertains to each day. First of all, today is a provided day. The psalmist declared, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." Now, this word "made" is the very same word that we see in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 for God's work in creation. In other words, God created this universe with meticulous attention given to every detail, and the scripture tells us that he also uses the same care in fashioning each and every day. One of God's creations and gifts to us is the gift of time. Every day has 24 hours in it. That's 1,440 minutes, or 86,400 seconds. That is, we all have the same amount of time to do our work, to serve, to love, and to laugh, and to do whatever else that we want to do. It makes no difference now whether you're wearing a $10,000 Rolex watch or a $10 wristwatch. An expensive watch gives you the same amount of time each day as does a cheap watch. So it really boils down to this: how am I going to spend my time today? You see, time is a gift that has been given to us, and the Bible tells us we are stewards of that time, and one day we're going to give an account of the time that God has given us. We'll have to account with what we have done with it. So I think a good question that we need to ask ourselves today is this: how would I spend my day today if I knew this would be the last day for me on earth? How would I spend it? Would we change our priorities? Would we have a different perspective for that day? I don't think there's any doubt that that's exactly what we would do. We ought to remember as we begin each day that this is a day made by God for us. That is, it is a provided day. It is also a present day. Notice the verb is, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Now, the verb is in the present tense. That is, the psalmist is not looking back to the past. He's not looking forward to the future. His focus is on the present. If God thinks this present day is special enough to merit his creative attention, he must have something in it special for me and for you. Let me point out two things that are important for us as you live this present day. Don't let yesterday rob you of a good day today. You see, yesterday can be the enemy of today if we insist on living in the past. And there's a lot of folks that insist on living in the past. All of us have some regrets concerning our past days. There may have been some things that we have said that we wish we hadn't have said. There may have been some things that we have done that we wish we could redo. But we cannot afford to let that guilt rob us of all the blessings and the benefits that God has for us today. God wants us to repent of those past sins, and he wants us to move on with our Christian lives. A man once told his pastor that he had done a terrible thing and can find no rest in his conscience. The pastor asked him, "Have you confessed it to the Lord?" The man replied, "Pastor, I have confessed it 1,000 times. The wise pastor said, "That is 999 times too many. You should confess it once and then praise God 1,000 times for his forgiveness." Brethren, God wants to forgive us, and he wants us to have victory in that abundant life in our life. But there's more than just past guilt. You see, sometimes past glory can rob us of a good today. That is, athletes of yesterday are not the only ones who long for past glories. I think all of us can remember our younger days when we were athletic and we were able to do all kinds of good things. But brother, those days are gone. You see, we can't just hang on to the past. We've got to move on. It can rob us of a good day if we dwell too much on them. Past grief can also rob you of today. We've all had losses. We've all had family to be taken from our midst, and it all brings grief and sorrow, but you can't live there. You've got to move on, or it will rob you of the blessings of today. And so can past grudges. You see, there is no quicker way to poison today than to infect it with the bitter gall from a past hurt. We have got to forgive and move on lest we permit yesterday's grudges to rob us of a good day. Brethren, you can't go back and redo. You can go and apologize and you can go and try to straighten it out, but you've got to move on in your Christian life. The Apostle Paul refused to dwell on yesterday when he said this, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Secondly, don't let tomorrow rob you of a good today. You know, some people get so wrapped up in tomorrow that they completely miss today. Now, there's nothing wrong with having hope and optimism about the future. The problem is, however, that many folks' hope for tomorrow are based not on God's presence, not on the promises of God, but on wishful thinking and foolish dreams. You know, millions of people in this country play the lottery every day because they think tomorrow is going to be the day that they're going to get lucky and hit it big. And while some people are waiting for tomorrow in anticipation, there are others waiting for tomorrow in dread. Maybe there is a upcoming surgery. Maybe there is sickness that you see in some of the family, and you worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. And so they cannot enjoy the blessings of today because they're so uptight about what happens tomorrow. Jesus said, "Take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now note what he is saying here. He is saying, like the song goes, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Worry does not get us ready for tomorrow. Worry gets us unready. So today is a provided day. It's made by the Lord for us. It is also a present day highlighting this moment in time. But it's also a precious day. The psalmist said, "This is the day." The focus is on this day. Now, this day, brethren, is a special, special day. This day is precious. This day is the one that we are responsible for. And what will we do with this particular day? Now, the prayer of Moses in Psalms 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." In other words, Lord, teach us to reflect on the brevity of life. Life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. It's like the flower grass that casts forth its beauty and fragrance and then it withers and it dies. So we need to understand the importance of making this day count because it may well be the last day that we'll have. So we pray, Lord, help us to see this day as being a precious day and a valuable day. Now, what are some things that we can do to apply our hearts unto wisdom and make each day a precious day? We may conclude that because we can't do something big, something noticeable, that we can't do anything significant, but not so. I'm convinced that God takes as much pride, great pride, if you will, in the little things, the basic things that we do. If we do them with a proper motive. You know, I believe God sees the heart, don't you? Yeah, he looks on the inside and he sees why we do what we do. We may spend time with God each day, and we need to do that, both in prayer and in Bible study. We can set God-honoring priorities each day for our life. Get up and say, this is a good day for the Lord to come. And if he comes today, what do I want to be found doing when he comes? It is a good day to get our priorities right. And we can daily confess our sins and our shortcomings to him, permitting God's Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to work in us, and to work through us. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We need to ask God to give us wisdom that we will do his perfect will. Then today is a passing day. Today will be here only today. Very soon, today will be gone, never to return again. Someone has said, tomorrow, today will become yesterday. The Lord Jesus was speaking of a passing day when he made this statement. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Now, time is a strange commodity. It cannot be stopped. You can call time out in a ball game, but not in life. I think I've told you the story of one time I was playing softball, fast pitch softball, and I hit a ball to the fence. And I knew that I had a double for sure, but with my blazing speed, I thought I could stretch it out to a triple. So I rounded second base, and I was headed to third and got about where the shortstop is at, and the third baseman already had the ball waiting on me. So they got me in a rundown, and, you know, I didn't really know what to do. I knew I was going to be tagged out pretty quickly, but all of a sudden, I don't know why I did it, but I just hollered, whoa, timeout! Everybody just kind of froze for a minute. They didn't know what to do. Finally, the umpire said, you can't do that. But time can't be stopped. You can put money in the bank, but you can't put time. Time can't be stretched. You can put another cup of water into that bowl of soup and stretch it out a little bit more, but you cannot add one single second to time. I've read stories of some wealthy, powerful men that would have given everything they had for a few moments more of time. Time is a fleeting thing. A woman once wrote to Ann Landers, she said, I'm 36 years of age. They're trying to get me to go back and finish my education. If I do that, I'll be 40 years of age when I graduate. Ann, what do you think I should do? Ann Landers' answer was classic. She responded, how old will you be 4 years from now if you don't go back to college? I think what she was saying is time is passing. Seize the opportunity while you can. This may be your last opportunity to do that thing that really needs to be done. I want to tell you that time is passing. There are times when the heart is pliable. There are times when an individual is receptive to the word of truth. But every time you say no to God, every time you resist the wooing and the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God, your heart gets a little harder and it becomes wax gross to where the Word of God doesn't penetrate like it used to. You see, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We've all heard the old saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life. That's true. But it's also true, today may be the last day of this first part of your life prior to eternity. Because today is a passing day. It'll only be here for a while and then it's gone. Then last of all, today is a providential day. Our text concludes with a response. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now the secret of having joy today is to see the providence of God in everything and rejoice in it. Listen, nothing comes to you or me any day that God is not aware of. He either arranges it or he allows it. This is why Paul can write, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That is, God is aware of every circumstance you are facing in life, and he is there for you. He says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." I'm telling you, to rejoice is a choice. We choose to rejoice or not to rejoice. You may be thinking, "But Pastor, how in the world can I rejoice when I'm going through some difficult times in my life? How am I going to rejoice in bad times, Pastor?" Well, Paul tells us how we can do that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. The only way to rejoice always is to rejoice in the Lord. Circumstances may change, but God does not change. He does not change. Someone might say, "Well, preacher, you can't possibly be happy all the time." That's true. That's true. Because happiness is temporary. It comes and it goes. But we're here talking about not happiness, but joy. Joy does not depend on what happens in a given day. I read this statement. Happiness is like a thermometer that registers conditions, but joy is like a thermostat that controls conditions. How true. Not even Jesus was happy all the time. He was, as the Bible said, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but Jesus had constant joy. And just a few hours before he was to die, he made this statement in the upper room in John chapter 15, verse 11. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And so since this is a providential day, no matter what happens, you can rejoice. Do you want to have a good day every day? I think all of us would say, "Well, preacher, I'd love to have a good day every day." You can. The choice is yours. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say things are always going to be hunky-dory, that everything is just going to be smooth sailing all the time. But in spite of all your problems, every day can be a good day if you choose for it to be, for it is God's providential day. Accept each day as a gift from God to you. It is God's special gift. This is a special day the Lord has made, and he's given it to you and to me. So see each day as a provided day, a present day, a precious day, a passing day, and a providential day. Now, if you are here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, to you who are not in a right relationship with the Lord, that are walking a guilty distance from him, the scripture says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I would say it is a foolish thing to put off salvation. It is a foolish thing to have the Lord to speak to your heart through the preaching of the word and invite you to come to Jesus Christ and for you to say no or to make light of it. For it may well be the last day that you'll ever have. You have no assurance. I have no assurance that this day will lead to another day that I can live in another and another. I'm here to tell you, time is passing. All you've got to do is just look up in the mirror in the morning. I know you do that every day. And you might look in that mirror and say, oh my, what a beautiful sight to behold. But I can tell you, if you're realistic, you can look in that mirror and you can see that somebody doesn't look like they used to look like. That the hair gets gray. There are wrinkles that crop up. And you look at your face and you think, my word, what happened? I used to say, you know, I'd look in the mirror and I said, who is that old man looking back at me, you know? But it just reminds me that this is a passing day, a passing life. And I'm here only for a while, but it's the proving grounds that I can prove myself as being one that loves the Lord, has been born of the Spirit of God, and I'm serving Him. And when He's through with me, He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. I want to hear that, don't you? Amen. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.